to The Truth of It, a weekly podcast series uncovering stories behind successful entrepreneurs, influencers, and authors. Each week, you'll learn about the challenges and failures behind their success and how they overcame setbacks so that you can do the same. This week, I spoke to Dan Tyre and Todd Hockenberry, co-authors of the book Inbound Organization. Dan shares how he went from door-to-door sales to growing a $1 billion business, how he got a favor from Gary Vee, and changing attention spans in 2018. While Todd shared with me the M-Spot concept and how helping someone before breakfast can fast-track you to entrepreneurial success. We kick things off with Dan taking me back to his first job and the experience along the way. I'm your host, Colin Roach, and I hope you enjoy.
I worked my way through college selling books door-to-door in Portland, Oregon, and Bellingham, Washington. And I didn't really have a choice. Back in 1972 and 1973, I had to make $5,000 for the year. That was tuition for the year, right? Not just books. That was like the whole thing. But that was the only place I could make that kind of dough was to like sell books door to door. And so I learned how to sell. And then I was a bass player in heavy metal rock and roll band, which Todd thinks is funny because we're both Joe Bonamasso fans. I was a bass player, which I have a variety of blog articles about how being a bass player is a very good introduction into business. And then I did a few different things right out of college, but my first professional position was selling computers. And I did that for a small regional firm for a year. And then my boss quit and went to a startup. And this is 1983. And I'm like, what's a startup? And he's like, it's a small business that wants to grow. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going. He goes, what do you mean you're not going? I go, I like where I'm working. He goes, I'll give you $3,000 more money. I'm like, I'm in. I'm like 23 years old. $3,000 back then was like, you could almost buy a car for it. So I like, I'm in. So I went to this new company. It's called Businessland, right? And it was a tiny little company based in San Jose. We were in Boston. And over the next 9 years, it grew to $1.5 billion. And I did a variety of different roles. So I started like carrying a bag. And then I was a sales manager and a regional manager and then ran LA and then taught sales training. And then I went back to Manhattan. And it was amazing. I got addicted to hypergrowth. And it was selling computers and local area networks and software and service in Manhattan. And the UN was my customer and AIG and all these companies on Wall Street. It was amazing, right? And so I got this great education. We called it a Businessland MBA. And then after 10 years, I decided I want to start my own company. So I quit and I started a company in my dining room with one other person. My wife lent me $40,000 and we just started. And it was a services business. We grew it very, very quickly over 4 years to $5 million. And then we sold it to a Phoenix-based company, grew the combined companies to $25 million, 12 locations across the United States. And it was like I was on the board of directors. I was the EVP of sales. It was super fun. Then I bought the training division of that business. And we ran it successfully for a year, and then it went bankrupt. And as somebody who's like high ego, go-getter, right, I learned a ton about business planning and humility. And there's like lots of – it's not in this book, but lots of like information about how when something like you hit that wall, what happens. And it was amazing. The things that I learned about putting a company in receivership, the things that I learned about human nature, amazing. So then I was looking around for something new to do, and I went to work for this startup called Groove Networks. Some people that had worked for me before was run by this brilliant entrepreneur by the name of Ray Ozzie. And I worked for Groove Networks for 3 or 4 years, and the vice president of sales there was this guy, Brian Halligan. And we had a great relationship. I ran the area from LA to Arkansas. And then the company got bought out by Microsoft. And this guy, Ray Ozzie, took Bill Gates' job as chief software architect. And so Brian went to MIT and I went to work for Microsoft for a year. And then he decided to start HubSpot. He said, Tyre, I want you to like start HubSpot. I'm like, why? He goes, you're a great startup guy. You got all this energy. You know how to do it. I'm like, that's true, but I live 2,600 miles away. He goes, I need you to start this company. He goes, it's too far. I got two kids. He goes, ask your wife, which is super smart because my beautiful wife makes all the decisions in the family. So I go to Amy. I go, can I be in Boston 4 weeks out of the month? She doesn't even look up. She goes, no. I go, how about 3 weeks out of the month? She goes, no. I go, how about 2 weeks out of the month? She goes, no. I go, how about 1 week out of the month? She goes, maybe. So I run back to Halligan. I go, I can be in Boston 1 week out of the month. He goes, done. I go, it's 2007. We can work remotely. There's like conference calling and like all these kind of things. So I was in. And when I first started HubSpot, I reported this guy, Mark Roberge. And Mark Roberge was the VP of sales at HubSpot. He was the smartest guy ever. He was the greatest vice president ever, right? No disrespect to Hunter or any of the people who we work with, but he had this big heart. And the reason he was so good, he wasn't a vice president of sales. He was an engineer. And so he went back. He's got his own book out called The Sales Acceleration Formula. And in 7 years I worked, we went from zero to 100 million. And I was the first salesperson, the first sales manager, the first sales director with this woman, Heidi Carlson, who was tremendous. We hired all these people. I was doing sales recruiting. I was doing the leadership program. I did the training stuff before Andrew Quinn. I ran the international division for a while. And I've been at HubSpot for 11 years. And I can never leave, right? They have to carry me out in a casket because it's so much fun. It's so much fun. Oh, my goodness. Right? All the great stuff that we do, all the way in which we engage with folks, all the value that we're providing and still providing. And so it's been an incredible ride. I am the luckiest guy in the world. And that's kind of my entrepreneurial background.
Wow, that's powerful. I took a quote down that you said in an interview last year. You may or may not remember it, but you actually said, we see on social media all the good things that people do. We see all of the highlights. Often we miss the texture, the challenges, and the problems that are part of everyday business. So on that, that's actually something that resonates with me. It's one of the fundamental reasons I actually set this podcast up was actually to, you know, not only see the successes and the pre-IPO companies going public and all of this colorful, great, happy stuff, but also the challenges, the adversity. I'm trying to uncover what those challenges are for people who, particularly like both of you, who are quite successful. So is there anything, Dan, you know, in specifically in your career, even if it is at HubSpot, that speaks to those challenges where it's almost like a challenge that defines your success?
So a couple of things. Number one, that focus thing that Todd was talking about, super important. When Todd talks to somebody, he is talking as an expert in industrial and manufacturing, and there's no getting away from it. That's just who he is, right? He like fixes his printer and like he's good with his car and like he understands and has three patents. And so it's just authentic. That's just what he does, right? And you can't take, you talk with him for 90 seconds, you know he's in manufacturing and distribution, has 30 years in that. The second thing is that you have to scale, right? There's 5 times more competition than there was even 4 years ago, right? And in the old days, if you did a bad job with someone, right, they called your boss. And they'd say, your salesperson did a bad job. And your boss would call you in and say, don't do that again, and hang up the phone, and you'd go back and do it again. Right? Now, if you do a bad job with one customer, what happens? It's all over social media, right? It's all over your LinkedIn. These guys suck. These guys don't do what they say they're going to do. These guys have terrible customers, and everybody sees that, right? So you have to do a good job right from customer one. Right. You have to make sure that the very first customer, you're blowing them away. That leads to the customer experience. You have to understand them. You have to understand their goals. You have to understand how they buy, where they sell, how they want to be supported. Right. And you have to map that all the way through the program. That's what the book does. It starts with an assessment of this is where you are on the scale. Number two, it talks about finding your why, right? Why you're in business. And Todd has this great story. He says, you know, we talk to people in the Midwest and you say, why are you in business? And the guy said, to make $100 million. And you're like, no. That's not a why. That's what you kind of want to do. But why are you like people coming in the morning, right? And they're like, because they have jobs. And you're like, no. What is like millennials, they want to be aligned with someone, right? And a social responsibility, right? So that focus is important. Right. And then number two, this is your why. Number three is the reason the M-Spot format is so good. It's on one page. Everybody is aligned. Right. And the whole concept of the inbound organization, everybody in the entire company needs to understand the mission of the company. They need to understand the strategy. They need to understand the plan. They need to see it over and over in an easy, recognizable place. And it's one page that everybody can utilize to make sure that they get it. And then I would say the final thing is you got to hustle like crazy, right? Everybody thinks that HubSpot salespeople sit there and then people just like email in the purchase orders, right? For 8 years, right? I kind of remember what my wife looked like. It was like 80 hours a week, like for 8 years, right? To build an organization like HubSpot. And it's still a very hardworking company because in 2018, right? We all have this short attention span, right? If you're on our pricing page and somebody doesn't call you in 5 minutes, you're like pissed. You're like, why don't these guys know I'm on the pricing page? They should be calling me right now. And like lead notification and lead intelligence and the meetings tool and all of that kind of stuff. It's like essential for people to be an inbound organization. And it's essential for people to understand those concepts. So the reason we wanted to share that with them is you get the book and we're going to teach people like how to do it.
Well, that's interesting. It sounds like the book cuts through the hustle, the direct hustle that so many people do. So when I say direct hustle, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think they're hustling or they're working extremely hard, but they're working in the wrong direction. They're spamming people or they're not actually offering value or they're targeting anyone.
That's right. It's exactly what Todd said. If you're targeting everybody, you've lost, right? There's no way because if I call a customer to talk about inbound, let's say a manufacturing customer, and Todd calls them, in the first 45 seconds, we'll all know who has a multi-decade experience with manufacturing. And there's too many other options, right? So you've got to be very, very focused. And then you have to treat people like human beings, right? And it's not always – when we were at that Tool and Die show, Todd, we were like having breakfast, and these are the nicest people in the world. They all live in like Oklahoma and Nebraska. They're all 50-year-old guys. Right there. And I'd say, do you want to give somebody a tour through your like facility? And they'd like, we'd love that. And they have these multi-million dollar machines that like you put in like components and all this stuff pops out. And they have all these like fibrillators and gauges and things like that. It's pretty awesome. They love explaining that stuff. I go, here's the thing. By the time they're ready for the tour, it's too late. Right. You got to start that. You got to give that tour 3 years before they're ready for the tour. You got to help them. And they're like, oh, now we get it. We've got to be helpful. And no one's ever explained it to them that you got to be helpful like years before you start the relationship, before you start exchanging money. And that once Todd and I explained it, then they're like, okay, now we get this inbound.
As we went through, we thought about the inbound principles and beliefs, we realized that things like culture and mission were critical because you can't impose a series of tactics or behaviors on people if they're not modeled by leadership and they're not really understood and believed throughout the business. So we kind of went back to the beginning and we started looking at things like mission and the why of a business. And we realized that many companies' missions were grounded in kind of old thinking. They weren't grounded in buyer behavior, buyer focus, customer focus. It was kind of product focus or process focus, or in many cases, it was marketing mumbo jumbo of jargons focus. And so we started digging into the connection between things like mission and culture and results and the buyer behavior. And we realized there was that HubSpot used this tool, and it was kind of a tool that had been adapted from, I think, Salesforce. And the MSpot, it stands for mission, strategies, playbooks, or projects, and then omissions and targets. And what it was a tool that kind of helped synthesize and focus business owners on the key things that they were working on. So they had to really identify their mission and promote it. And then they had to identify their strategies. And again, there's a way to create an inbound strategy. We go into that in the book. And then there's plays. And plays tend to be the tactics that people use. And that's what most people think about when they think about inbound marketing. They think about, okay, I've got the series of plays that I run or activities that I do that will lead me to generate leads or implement an inbound methodology. What we realized was if you didn't have the mission and you didn't have the strategies right, the companies were going to underperform. You could still see results with tactics and with these plays and just kind of following the inbound methodology, saying it's just your marketing group. But real success is going to come when you really adopt it at the mission level and work your way down. So an MSpot is a tool that allows you to kind of condense your thinking, focus it down, and give your people an operational tool that they can use to make, to govern their daily behavior. And the reason that's important is because inbound organizations, we found across the board, drive decision-making away from senior executives down to the line level where people were connected to customers. The decision-making needs to be very close to customers. And inbound organizations are flatter, less hierarchical, and drive decisions down where they matter, which is at the connection with the customer. So the M-Spot gives companies a tool to basically make sure everybody's focused on the mission, understands what it is. The strategies help them understand how their role in their department or group or individually even, how they fit into that mission and how they help accomplish it. And then the plays are the things they're doing and the activities they do. And targets are the obviously the goals, what they want to hit. And then the last piece is omissions. We realized that omissions was a big piece of an inbound organization, that inbound organizations were very intentional about what they did and what they focused on, and very intentional about what they did not do. So we talk about kind of some decision-making criteria and how you want to focus on the right decisions and not leave those things kind of hanging. Because the human mind, if you have too many options open, it can distract you. So it was important to say, we're not going to do this. And from an inbound marketing perspective, people, your listeners probably understand personas and developing a target persona. And that's part of creating omissions. Persona work is often as much about who you don't work with as who you do work with. So I'll give you an example from my business. We focused from the beginning on industrial and manufacturing buyers. And our persona is called Walt. And it's a very specific person in a company, privately held. We have a very detailed description of that. So by defining our persona as Walt for my business, if somebody calls me up and they're an attorney or an accountant and they want us to help them market their law firm or accounting firm, I never do it. I pass that on to somebody else who's specialized in that. And it really helped us grow and be really good at what we do. So that's kind of the omissions kind of thing. You're making conscious decisions not to do things. So to kind of bundle that back up, the M-Spot is a tool that helps inbound organizations organize their strategies and activities so that they stay focused on the mission and they hit the outcomes they're looking for. So kind of M-Spot's our tool that kind of, and the book came out of, the M-Spot's something we introduced early, but most of the rest of the book talks about the pieces and parts in the M-Spot and how an inbound organization would construct those.
So Todd, a similar question to yourself, just over 25 years experience, I think you have. And I know that it's all in the book. A lot of the methodologies are in the book, but is there one defining moment for you that kind of said, look, inbound is the way to go. This is a real learning for me. And you can reference that as a point that actually defined a direction that ultimately led you to this position today where you're co-authoring, you know, a book on inbound.
Yeah, it was August of 2016, and we were speaking at a conference. Both of us were speaking at a conference. It was machine tool companies, right? So it was real kind of, you know, down and dirty manufacturing stuff. And what we both realized was that what these companies were struggling with was, yeah, they needed to grow. Yeah, they needed more leads, which is kind of the inbound marketing methodology. But what we realized, and what we realized we were both talking about separately, was that these companies needed to adopt the inbound ideas and proliferate them through the whole business, right? It's not enough if you just do marketing. Your whole business has to understand this. So over a long coffee and breakfast, we realized we were both on the same page. It came out of it like, hey, we need to share this information with the world, and we decided to write a book. And what was interesting was, from my perspective as a person outside of HubSpot, was that HubSpot's tools clearly help you implement the inbound methodology. But the way they run their business was very inbound too. So we talk in the book a lot about how HubSpot kind of behind the scenes is run. And we were fortunate enough to interview many of the senior people at HubSpot and get their perspective on what is inbound, and not what is an inbound tool or what is inbound marketing, but what really is inbound and what beliefs do you hold to be inbound? And then how does that impact your business, right? So that's kind of what we wrote about. I think from a high-level methodology perspective, inbound marketing as it launched 10 or 11 years ago was successful and worked because it reflected the reality of today of buyers. It reflected how buyers wanted to be treated and how they wanted to learn and how they wanted to consume information. So it was that attractive piece. So you'd create content and you would optimize it and you'd promote it on social media using email, on websites, and then you would attract people. And the fundamental thing of inbound, and I love this, and we did 50 or 60 interviews, the one thing that every single person that I asked, that Dan asked about inbound, was that it starts with helping. It's being helpful first. And this was kind of a sea change in how people thought about marketing and now sales. It's being adding value and giving value before you try to take value or extract it. So this is a really foundational piece. So if you think about it from a content perspective, if you publish helpful content and you share helpful information, it attracts people. But it goes beyond that. Is your sales team helpful, or are they just trying to pitch your products and do PowerPoint presentations? Is your service team helpful, or are they just answering questions and trying to get you off the phone? How helpful is your legal team? How about your terms and conditions? Is your finance helpful? Are they making the process easier than making it hard? Inbound's about this fundamental shift to buyers and the fact that they have options. And if you're not essentially helping first, adding value first, you're not going to build that relationship. So that's the core, right? Everything else comes out of that.
All right. So we feel strongly it's a different time. If you're trying to run your business the way I ran the businesses in the first 25 years, it was all on gut feel. Right. We didn't get our P&L until 30 days later. It was all, this is what I think. Now it's all data and the facts. Right. And the reason why inbound sales and marketing are so, give such a competitive advantage is because you have the treasure map. Once you figure out who your client is, once you figure out their persona, once you figure out what they want, right, it's on the web. You can do it very, very easily to make sure that you can duplicate that treasure map and grow as large as you'd like.
Well, the great thing about this methodology is that it really isn't specific to enterprise businesses or, you know, or even just startups. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. It's practically a methodology for everyone at every side of the scale.
But if you don't have the inbound aesthetic, if you're not treating your customers like human beings, you're going to lose, right? I'm telling you right now, you know you're going to lose, right? So we got to wake people up. It's like kind of a wake-up call a little bit, all right? The world has changed. Everybody knows, but they don't know what to do about it, right? Todd and I are on stage, and they're saying, all right, we get it. We want to be inbound. What do we do? And I look at him, and he looks at me, and he goes, all right, that's got to be in the book, right? So the first thing you got to do is understand your mission. The second thing you got to do is explain it to everybody. The third thing is you define what you want. There's an assessment in the book to help you do that. You define your target market. And then where people like kind of lose it is that today recruiting employees is almost the same as like going after customers, right? So you have to have your ideal employee persona. And I'm saying that, and Todd's like, no one has that. And I'm like, well, how are you going to recruit people that have like a common like foundation, ethics, like ideas, unless you have that? He goes, yeah, but no one does that. But that's what they need to do. So that's a chapter in the book called Inbound Culture and How You Do It.
Okay, so one of the questions, well, a few of the questions I know I'm going to get after, say if I stop things now and publish this episode, what if you're frozen with decisions? So like this book, it's arguably in the self-help category almost, self-help for business owners, you know, someone who wants to succeed in business. But what if you're someone who, you know, the entry to set up a business is quite easy, but you're almost overwhelmed by, you know, doubt, self-fear, you know, a culmination of a few things. I know, Dan, you spoke about attitude before and how to, you know, cover yourself in a bubble almost and water off a duck's back when things go wrong. Todd, I'm not sure if Dan has infected you with this bubble concept, but this is something that really I think that a lot of listeners would love to hear about. How do you, you know, feel less overwhelmed in a world that's so chaotic about setting up in business?
So a very, very good question. And Todd and I both support entrepreneurism worldwide. And so an entrepreneur is somebody who decides they're going to do something and just gets it done, right? Gary Vee says it's great. He's all about the hustle, right? I got a great Gary V story. I don't know if we have time on for it, but he did me a huge solid in 2015. I've known Gary V for, I don't know, 8 years. We're on the speaking circuit together. I don't really know him, but I know him well enough that we like fist bump. Oh, that's the other thing that's weird about me. I don't shake hands. I fist bump. And I was investing in a company, mentoring a company here in Phoenix in, I think it was 2015. And the guy, the entrepreneur goes, you know what I need? I need to talk with Gary V. And I'm like, yeah, so does everybody else. He goes, no, Gary V can solve this problem. I go, all right, I can get you to Gary V. He's like, what? I go, yeah, I can get you to Gary V. He goes, you can get me to Gary V. I go, yeah. He goes, how are you going to do that? I go, I'm going to call him on my cell phone. And he goes, you got Gary V on your cell phone? I go, yeah. And so I sent him an email and I call him, right? He calls me back, right? And he goes, Tyre, what do you need? I go, Gary, you and I have only met like six times, but thank you very much for returning my call. I'm working with an entrepreneur. Will you ask? He's going, Tyre, I got a gazillion things going on. Come on, what are you talking about? Okay, I'll call. And he calls him 5 minutes later. The guy picks up the phone. He goes, this is Gary V, right? He is blown away. Right? It's unbelievable. I'm blown away, right? It's above and beyond, right? He's as busy as I am. There's a million things going on. At the end of the year, I'm counting my blessings, right? It's like setting up my goals. I'm a big goal setter for the next year. And I'm thinking about Gary V doing me a solid. So I sent him an email. I go, all right, buddy. In 2015, I asked you for a favor and you came through. So now I owe you. What do you want me to do? And he sends me back this great email. He's like, Tyre, you're freaking like off the charts. No one does that. Who does that? He goes, sign up for Snapchat and buy my books. So I'm like, all right, I'm all in. Sign up for Snapchat, right? Used it like 500 times. Still use. I'm a big snapper. DTyre1, if you want to Snapchat me. And I bought his books. And then I had an opportunity. He had an opportunity to come to speak in Phoenix for the Jab, Jab, Jab book that he put out. And so we bought 1,000 of his books. Right. And so now Gary Vee is like, whoa, Tyre. But that's like the karmic kind of thing. Right. That's what we're talking about of like really helping. Right. Everyone. And that's my Gary Vee story. So the last time I saw him, he spoke at Inbound. Right. And I'm walking through the crowd. He comes up to me and hugs me. Right. And I'm on Facebook Live with Gary Vee hugging me. Right. And I'm in Gary Vee episode like 97. So all my friends are like, Tyre, you're on the Gary Vee Live or whatever he calls his podcast. I'm going, yeah, I know. I ran into him at Inbound. Which is just more proof I'm the luckiest guy. Here's the thing. His message is good, right? What we're saying is before you start, he's all about the hustle, right? He's all about don't sleep, just freaking do, right? We're about like, think a little bit. Why do you want to do it? Because if you're going to spend 8 hours a week hustling, you better have a why. You better understand you're going to kiss your beautiful wife like goodnight and you're only going to see her a little bit. It's all about making choices, right? So what the book does is it helps you understand this is what you have to do. Right. You have to decide who you're going to go after. Right. You have to decide what you want to be. You have to decide your strategies. And like Todd said, the omissions is a big part because all these entrepreneurs, they're super excited. They're all going to be the next Facebook or the next like Uber for walking dogs or all these guys. And that may be true, but you got to start with this is what I'm going to do in a way that is bite sized, that's achievable. And then you take it off and start hustling it. And if you do that, boom, you're ready to go.
Todd, any final words on following that? And they don't have to be Gary Vee related.
there's a quote. I don't know. Dan, tell me if you think this was a Halligan quote. But the quote was, it's never been easier to start a business, but it's also never been harder to scale one. Right? The barriers to starting a business are very low. And you're absolutely right, Colin. Anybody can do this. But my advice and our advice, I think, from the book is, if you're going to do it, the best thing you can do is focus, 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 pick a niche, nail it, understand it, and really deliver a lot of value and help a lot of people in a narrower niche and then grow from there. Don't try to eat it all at once. Start narrow and build from there. Yeah, we started out focused on consulting and delivering inbound marketing services to manufacturing industrial companies. And when we started 10 years ago, there was really no one else doing that. So most of the companies we dealt with at the time were like, what are you talking about? Inbound marketing? What is that? And I said, well, let me show you. And we had a lot of success early on because many of our customers, competitors weren't doing it. So they were a lot of greenfield. A little tougher to do that now. But I would still say if you're an inbound agency and you're thinking about it from that perspective, you definitely want to focus and develop a niche and get good at it, and then you can always add to that. But unfortunately, I hear this all the time. People lead with the inbound methodology. They'll say, I'm an inbound agency, and we can help you with inbound marketing. Let me show you HubSpot. And that's exactly backwards. It should be, we understand your business. We understand your buyers. We can help you grow your business. What are your business goals? We can help you get there. Oh, by the way, we use these tools to do it. It's completely flipped around. I hear it so many times from entrepreneurs. People will call me and say, hey, how'd you get started? What's your advice? I just had one the other day. And that's exactly what I told him. Like, focus on the niche, the customer, the persona, understand them, deliver value. And then, you know, you're not selling HubSpot. You're selling leads. You're selling growth. You're selling sales. That's what you're selling. We started our business, and my wife and I run our business together, and we started 10 years ago, and the first client we had, it was a sales, I was doing sales consulting. We weren't doing inbound marketing or HubSpot at all, and they realized they were complaining about their website, and I was saying, you should make these changes, you need to fix this, and they couldn't get it done. They had the traditional webmaster from 10 years ago, somebody that would charge them $500 to change the spelling of a word on the site. It was just a bad setup, so I was a trusted advisor, I guess. So they just said, hey, help us figure out how to fix this. So I had been following HubSpot. And so I recommended HubSpot. And they said, this is great. We want to do it. We don't know anything about this. Can you help us? So that's when we said, okay, I guess we're going to be doing some inbound marketing work. And we started, and within about 90 days, which again is not a long time for a manufacturing company. Their sales cycles oftentimes are 6 months to a year. So 90 days, if you show results, you're doing something. And within 90 days, we were seeing like three or four times as many leads from the website, and their sales guys were busy and the phones were ringing, and they were just like, what did you do? And we kind of were like, I don't know. We got to go figure out what we just did. What we realized was that by creating some content, these niches, and following the inbound methodology, it worked. That was really confirmation for me that buyer behavior changed and the way people consumed information changed, even in these niche industrial kind of specialized industries. So what we realized was that there was just an opportunity in the world to kind of help educate people around these topics and around these principles. So that's what we did. That's what we've been building our business on. And not long after that, we became a HubSpot partner. I think we were like the 30th partner ever. You know, now there's 3,500, and we were there when the first meeting of partners, you could put us all in one room. And, so we've been kind of steeped in this for a while, and where we're going with it is, what I want to do is not just be an inbound agency. I want to take that continual learning and practical, like, we see businesses change. We see the people's lives change. We see them hiring people and growing. And, you know, these are, you know, they got great solutions and they're getting out to more people. So their customers are being helped. So it's like Dan says, you're doing more good in the world, right? And we want to take it to a higher level, because we can just see that business owners still struggle with how to scale and how to grow and how to stay competitive. And that's my next thing. I want to have that aha moment with business owners, right? Like we had 10 years ago with marketing and salespeople. So that was for me. It was the proof that the world had changed and something was different. And one other point to add to that is that one of the fundamental principles we found of an inbound organization is that the methodology that's used for marketing, where you develop a persona, you create helpful content to attract, you develop a buyer journey, you match their journey, and you create content that's helpful to them at the right stage, that you in the outcome is this customer experience. That same thinking applies to all of your relationships, whether it's your employees, your partners, your suppliers, and we've even got cases where it's actually even competitors, where the thinking has to apply to all the relationships you have. You actually create an ecosystem around your business of all those relationships that you're thinking about. Again, the persona, the buyer journey, and the outcomes. So the marketing thinking applies to really every relationship a business has. I would say this: help someone before breakfast. Wake up and help someone. Help someone again. Help someone before lunch. Help someone in the afternoon. Take a nap. Get up, help someone. I hear too many entrepreneurs thinking about their product, their service, themselves, and they don't put themselves in the other person's shoes, and they don't think from that point back to them. They think from them outward. If you change your mindset around and think outward in and help first, you're going to be well on your way as an entrepreneur, right? I mean, the money and success and all that will flow in direct proportion to how much you're helping someone. So if your mindset's about help, you'll be much better off in terms of being an entrepreneur.
Guys, thanks so much for coming on today. And I know I asked some questions that led us off on a tangent, but
I don't know why that happens all the time. You just ask a question, and the next thing I know, we're answering 14 different questions. But that's what happens on all the podcasts. Or you want the big energy, and we'd love to come back. If there's anything we can do to help, right, we're happy to assist, right? We are appreciative of you inviting us on the podcast. We're all about leadership. We're all about spreading the inbound message to the world, right? We busted our tail in 2017 and speaking all over the world in 2018 to do the most good that we can for the universe, right? And there's this fundamental change. People either get on board or they're going to get croaked, right? And anything we can do to help, we're all in.
That's amazing. And thanks again. So what I'm going to say is I'm going to get the name of the book right. It is Inbound Organization, Build and Strengthen Your Company's Future Using Inbound Principles. You can actually go to the Instagram. It's called inbound.org. The book is available. It's actually available for pre-order now at Barnes & Noble. And it's available April 2018. If you want to reach out to Todd and bombard him on Twitter, it's Todd Hockenbury. And then his company is Top Line Results, so top/line/results.com. Dan Tyre is at Dan Tyre on Twitter and Dan Tyre 1 on Instagram, and you'll find them all over YouTube and Google.
We have a website for the book. The website for the book is inboundorganizationnospaces.com, inboundorganization.com. All the info you need about the book is there. All of our contact info is there as well.